Good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. Familiar faces, new faces, old faces, all good. Talk about seeing different faces. Today's share, we'll talk about, you know, sometimes you can see a familiar face, but all of a sudden, it looks blurry. Oh, that's you. Today's topic is called DUI, davening under the influence. And with Rosh Chodesh Adar Beis coming this week, no, this is not Purim Torah, but this is important halachas to know for Purim. One aspect of the holiday of Purim is one mitzvah, which somehow has grown bigger sometimes. Some of the other mitzvahs, a few weeks ago we gave a share about tzedakah, which the Chafetz Chaim brings, in some ways is the most important mitzvah one should focus on, Matanos Lev Yonim, when it comes to the holiday of Purim. But it definitely is very popular. Purim is associated with the idea of drinking, and these halachas are definitely relevant to a good amount of people when it comes to Purim. But I was thinking about it, and I realized in today's From Society, I'll start off with just scenarios that happen because of the fact you're an Orthodox Jew. Really, the amount of drinking that exists in our society today is quite a lot. Maybe we'll talk later about the importance of curbing some of these things, controlling.
General society.
But the From Orthodox Jewish society, think about it. You can have Kiddush on Shabbos. Go to a Kiddush. I'm talking about after davening. Maybe we should talk about before the end of davening too. We have organizations have fundraisers. Well, you do different things to bring in money. You have dinners. You have parlor meetings. You have barbecues. Many of these events nowadays come with a bar, spirits, drinking. You have sprung up many different events. They have wine tasting. It's a very in thing to do. Now, especially you have multiple wines, you taste a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Before you know it, you taste it a lot. We have simchas. Of course, by a wedding, there's drinks available. There's a bar. But we also have bar mitzvahs and vorts and something else we call l'chaim. Why do we call that? I'm not talking about yahrzeits, which also have a bottle or two. Literally, like, I come from New York. A person could spend, you could get a kibud every other morning in shul. Morning. At night, you could have either a wedding, a bar mitzvah, a vort, a l'chaim. And if you truly participate and give a l'chaim by each of these, we're talking about people that could be drinking almost every day of the week. That's really where From Society has gone. I saw a stat. You know, years ago, they compared Jewish drinking to our friends who celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And the gap between us was quite wide. But nowadays, in certain circles, certain people for sure, the gap, you know, we're seeing a lot of green. That's obviously a dangerous phenomenon. Dangerous to one's health, dangerous to society, definitely something not healthy, but also has tremendous halachic ramifications. And you think about it, a lot of these scenarios, right? You go to a wedding. So let's say you drink by the chasen's tish. Usually, sometimes, during the Chasan Tish, right after the Chasan Tish, depending on the timing of the year, there'll be a Mincha Minyan and Ma'ariv Minyan. Right then and there, you're running into problems. Right? We have these events, they go on for hours, and usually there are Minyanim for Mincha Ma'ariv at these events. Well, after you drink, are you able to daven? So, what I'd like to go through today are many practical questions, many practical areas. What are the dinim of drinking? Together with all different types of davening tefillos and brachos. Shemona Esrei, what's the halachos of davening Shemona Esrei? Kriya Shema, Birchas Kriya Shema, brachos in general, brachos before you eat, brachos after you eat, Birchas Hamazon comes up a lot. Definitely Simchas Torah, perhaps other Yom Tovim, Kohanim, Birchas Kohanim, after one drinks. Many, many tricky things. All that we, Baruch Hashem, as a Jew, we have so many mitzvahs, so many brachos, so many tefillos constantly throughout the day. It's hard to be in this intoxicated and fulfill these things, requirements. We also have, besides our individual chiyuvim, there are shilos of minyanim. Does one count for a minyan if they're intoxicated? What about benching? You want to have a minyan, or even more simple, a mezumin. Does one count if they're intoxicated? Again, we're not just talking about the Purim Suda, which is coming soon. But these things do apply throughout the year. You know, many people during a Shabbos Suda will have a drink. And really, during a Shabbos Suda is probably one of the safest times to do it, because you're doing it together with a significant amount of eating. So that obviously tempers it. But you're not driving a car in Shabbos. Also a very safe time to do it. But at the same time, by the end of the meal, you might have a shiloh. Could I join a mezumin? Do I count? What happens if I can't really count? So those are all questions I'd like to deal with today. I think about this point in the share, I have two groups of people. Some people, I think I have some guys who came special for this, that these halachas are very nogea. Look, Rabbi, of course I want to drink, but I want to do it the right way. So, yeah, I want to hear the halachas about drinking. The other half of the group says, okay, maybe it's something I could tell my grandkids. I mean, you know, I wasn't planning. I was planning pretty dry Purim. But these halachas are fascinating to learn nonetheless. Even if you never plan on taking another intoxicated drink until Pesach. Maybe not even. Right? We'll talk about grape juice. But I'll tell you why these halachas are very interesting to learn. Because these particular halachas really give us a contrast in all these different areas. There are going to be differences, whether we talk about Davening Shemoneh Esrei, Kriya Shema, Birchas Kriya Shema, Berchas Brachos, Berchas Hamazon, Berchas Kohanim, Minyan Mezumin, all these things, some are the same, but some have their differences. And really, by studying what the Halacha says about it, we see how our Chazal differentiate between all these different things. They're all religious obligations. I have to daven, I have to say Brachos, Berchas Kohanim, all these different things. But in halacha, there really are distinctions between them. And it's not just all, you know, religious obligations, things I do. There's really interesting individual components of all these different brachos and tefillos. So therefore, even if you're not a drinker, it's kedai to understand these halachas well. Now, the main source for these halachas are in Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim, Simen Tzadites. I'm going to read, it's the first Mar Malkum in the middle of your sheets. I'm going to read the first Sif in the Shulchan Aruch, and then I'm going to sort it out. Really, there's a lot of information here. I just want to put it down first inside, and then we'll put it in order together and sort it out. The halacha is called din shasoi v'shikar l'tfila, the din of someone who shasoi, who drinks, or v'shikar, someone who's drunk, when it comes to davening. Shasoi yayin k'dei revias, if someone drinks wine, the mount of a revias, and a revias is, of course, like all shirim, is a machlokes within the shirim, but it's basically between 3 ounces to 5.3 ounces. Okay? 3 ounces of wine, not the biggest deal in the world. So if you already drink a revias, al yispal acha yasser yeno. Don't daven until the effects of the wine have been removed from you. First thing the Shulchan Aruch says. Vim shasa yoser. Let's say you drank more than a revias, more than this 3 ounces, or you want to be machmer at the Chazon Ish, 5.3. Not sure it's machmer. In this case, it might be mekel. Vim shasa yoser. If you drank more than this, imu yachal adaber of ne'amelach. If you could now still talk in front of someone who's chashiv, honorable person, a king, or the like, imispal tefilas tefila. If you could stand your ground, if you could walk a straight line, talk to an adam chashiv, then your tefila would work. Right? Obviously, ideally, we still have that halacha from before. You shouldn't be davening right now. But if one does do that, the tefillah does work, it counts. If you can't talk in front of the king based on how much you already drank more than a revias. Pretty strong language. If you daven in such a state, your tefillah literally is an abomination. And you'd have to re-daven later after the wine subsides. And the Mechaber says, Va'afilum over zman ha'tfila. Even if we're talking in the case. So we're saying again that if you drank more than a revias, more than 3 ounces of wine, and now you want to daven, so still two subcategories. If you could still speak in front of an honorable person, if you daven, it works. Again, ideally, always wait. But if you can't speak in front of an honorable person, but you feel on a high, and now's the best time I want to daven, but you're really, really drunk. So the halacha is, it's not the time to daven. Pretty strong language, to be also to Eva. And you're going to have to daven again. Now, the third line writes, Va'afilum over zman ha'tfila. Even if it means passing up the zman ha'tfila, right? I can't daven anymore. The zman ha'tfila is going to pass, right? Obviously, more nogea for shachris than for other tefillas. Mincha maybe also, somewhat. Ma'ariv, you have a good amount of time, but depends how long you drink. The ideal ma'ariv is also before chatzos, okay? A film others manatfila mashamaso bitfila shachra kidin shoge. If you weren't able to daven, as manatfila is passing, we say you are allowed then the next tfila to daven tushman asrei, do what we call tashlumim, just like any other case of a shoge. This is still considered a shoge that one would be allowed to redo it at a later tfila. Aga. Okay, we can stop over here. Yes?
With this being a shogeg, it only would be if he didn't actually know when he was doing it that he was going to miss the zman.
Right? So I see which side of the line you stand, huh?
You can't say, it doesn't matter that I'm going to miss davening and be drinking anyhow, when he physically knows that.
So, okay, you know, most, a lot of the time people don't know exactly the stage they're going to get into. Most of the time people thought it would be less than they ended up in. And yeah, there for sure is some element of shogeg involved. You want to be strong, you want to say these people are all masons and they can't daven. I'm not sure. The halacha seems to call them shogegs.
Not at all. I'm saying someone who specifically knows that if I take this drink, I'm not going to be able to daven, and I'm going to miss this man.
And you do it right before that. Okay. Yeah, perhaps that might be a different case. But let me go through first. Let me just clarify what we said here before you start pinning me down on things. Now, within what we saw in the Mechaber, he really has two and a half levels. Mishabura brings up a third level. Well, let me just put them out there. There's three types of people. There's one person that we call a shasli. Shasli literally means someone who drank, or in simple English vernacular, I had a couple of drinks. The guy's not drunk. He had a couple of drinks. Could he still speak in front of Adam Chashev? The answer is yes. Maybe be a little bit more loose, but he has his mind still with him. And that's still what we call a shasoi. Okay, now simply a shasoi is somebody who drank in total less than a revius of wine. If you already drank a revius, again, if you drank more than a revius, but you still could talk in front of a king, for the most part, you have a din of a shasoi. We'll see, maybe there are some differences a little bit later, but for the most part, if you can still speak, that's still a shasoi. A shikar is someone who reaches a level, I can't speak in front of a chash of a person. I'm going to say something stupid, I'm going to regret what I'm saying. That's already a shikar, and that's a different level. That's what we call level 2, and that has different halachas. And there's a third level. Maybe that's the guy you're talking about. But there's a third level. And this is not viewed in any positive terms. So, Yeshiva Bachram, this is not something we ever want to see anybody at. It's called Reach a Madrega of Shikruso Lot. You reach the drunkenness of Lot. Now, this is not viewed as in any way a Mila. In fact, if you know the biblical story, what happened to Lot when he got that drunk? Again, happens to be his daughters, Ramachav and L'shem Shemayim, but not a great thing. In fact, that's the most simple case. If you read Shikrusa Shalot, there's no debates in Halacha. You don't do anything. You're potter from all mitzvahs. You know why? Oh, right. Usually in that case, thank you very much. Yes, you should seek medical care. And you have a din of a shota. Unfortunately, a person who doesn't have das, imbecile, and you're potter from all mitzvahs. And yidavin, there's no shilas about any of those things. So for the most part, we're not talking about that level, shikrusa shalot, right? You might need your stomach pumped at that point. But we're talking the earlier stages. Someone who has a drink, he's a shasoi, or level 2, where he reaches the level of being drunk. Now, yes?
In states that have legalized marijuana, the sale of alcohol has been diminished by between like 27% and 33%. So if we see that there's a trend that marijuana is replacing a certain extent of alcohol consumption. And the Torah deals with everything. Does the Torah deal with the marijuana consumption?
So before I address this question, which I was prepared for, in fact, part of the reason I was prepared for this question is this share is somewhat based. Rabbi Sharfman gave a share in number 203, which he called drinking like a Jew, as opposed to drinking like a guy. I went through that share. So firstly, I was very proud. I came up with my title, DUI, and I'm like, that's a great line. It's a great title. Actually, I came up with the title before I figured out the rest of the share. But I was going through the share, and Rabbi Sharfman coined the term DUI, davening under the influence. So I'm like, Baruch Shekivanti, I'm a good Talmud. I came up with his line. I decided to name the share like that. But really, part of the reason why I decided to call the share also DUI was not because, as someone informed me, DWI was the original term, driving while intoxicated. But then they switched it to DUI to include other substances, which will be under the influence of affecting a person. Obviously, drugs. Now, I happen to like the term DUI, not for the drugs, but because in halacha, I think it's a much more precise terminology. Because the halacha affects even if the person isn't intoxicated. Even if you're just under the influence, even if you just had a couple of drinks, you could still talk, but there's still halachas. Al yispala. You shouldn't daven in that case. So that's why I termed it DUI, davening under the influence, because even a level less than being intoxicated, which is usually the term referred to as drunk, right, it still affects halacha. Now, in listening to Rabbi Sharf and Sher, there was a familiar voice in the back of the room, which a few years ago, ahead of his times, asked a similar question. So, I'm not sure who it was, but I have my guesses. I tried listening wisely. No names, right? If I want to give a share from this 10 years from now, you know, we'll see. But I think the answer is, Rabbi Sharfman assumed that these things apply to that too. And the thing is, we need equivalents. I'm not sure they have exactly the equivalent of how much marijuana a person has to smoke, exactly how, to be equivalent to a drink, a cup of wine, or a shot of whiskey. I'm not sure if they have those exact equivalents yet. But when they come up with that, you know, the FDA comes up with that exact thing, then that'll be the same. Fact, it's a good point to mention, when we're talking here, the halacha talks about wine. Because that was the most basic thing back in the day. You know, we could talk about the halachas of Purim. Ideally, many posts can talk about doing it with wine. But you look at the first Mishnah Berurah on the bottom, Shasa Yayin. The Mishnah Berurah writes, V'nira duhua din shar mashkin ha-mashakrin. We're not just talking about wine. We're also talking about any intoxicating, any liquor drink. So it could be scotch, whiskey, vodka. It's all good. All these count in halacha. The Chafetz Chaim, though, makes a very interesting point at the end. If you read the last couple lines, he brings a taz, the fidasa taz, lo be'ina b'shar mashkin shir revias. By other drinks, you don't need the shir of a revias. You don't need a revias. Revias is the measurement, those 3 to 5.3 ounces you need for wine. But when it comes to other drinks, it could be less. So the Chafetz Chaim qualifies for li nira. No, the revias is still a good point to gauge from. Because there's a certain amount, I guess you call it blood alcohol level, that you get from drinking a glass of a revias, 3 ounces of wine. You categorize that, you measure that. How much whiskey would it take to have the same effect on you? So then that's also a shear.
But it's usually 3 times as strong, and that's approved.
Oh. Right? I like your proof. Very good. But they have means of measuring these things. I've seen graphs comparing wine consumption to liquor. So, and huadin, other forms of influences, if it would be that amount, that shear would also qualify in these halachas. Yes.
But you couldn't fulfill your mitzvah and Purim with it.
Oh, no. You cannot fulfill your mitzvah and Purim with that. No. And maybe we should debate and do as a topic, what exactly are the halachas of it? You know, we live in a society that, you know, we're becoming very progressive. And a lot of these things, you know, marijuana is something which is being promoted all across the country. And you know, the naysayers would say, you know, unfortunately, it might be a matter of time until it's legalized, you know, maybe even everywhere. And the halacha has definitely a lot to say about it. I've recently been asked many shalos about it. It's definitely a good topic for its own share. But for the meantime, today we're talking under the influence of alcohol. Yes?
I'm not a drinker. Who decides what level that a person is on as far as their level of intoxication?
Excellent. Somebody else. Choose a friend.
.0.
The guy with your keys.
The guy with the breath.
To be honest, we'll see. The halacha does state that, and we know this to be true, is that different people, based on their many factors, their history, their weight, their drinking ability, you know, different things affect people differently. So halacha does give some means of differentiating. It's not like not everything is clear cut, but we'll see. There are some halachas here which are automatic. Even if you're an experienced drinker and you say it doesn't bother you and doesn't affect you, there'll be points where the halacha says, big brother says, halacha says we know different. Yes?
In regards to wine of Shasukhide Revias, what is considered wine? Meaning, like, Rashi Light, you're not getting drunk off of Revias. So, is that considered
right.
wine?
Right. Okay, so the halacha also talks about wine being diluted, which that's what you're referring to. And yeah, that's not really wine. Sorry. I mean, we might have shilohs for Pesach. You know, does that count there? But we're talking about a normal wine.
Say, are beers even like 12% wine that would get someone drunk?
Yeah.
Any.
Yes.
Any
yes. Yes. Remember, he has proof.
You couldn't drive. that's the driving level, right?
Huh?
I think the legal driving, usually the rule of thumb is one drink, which is the amount of alcohol, either 4 ounces of wine, a shot of whiskey, or a can of...
Isn't that amazing how halacha mirrors
Modern
society? Beautiful. So let me go through the categories. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to say, but let me just put down the categories. Again, so we have three categories. Category number one is the guy who's just a shasoi, drinks. He can still speak in front of a Adam Chashev. Drinks Revias. That's one category. Category number two is a person who drinks more than Revias and no longer could talk in front of Adam Chashev. And category three, again, we don't want you getting there, is Shikrusa Shalot. You're out. The stupor. Now, the first category, as we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, in such a case, a person drinks a revias of wine, l'chachila one should not daven now. Shouldn't. And here, this is relevant to one of the comments just made. You shouldn't daven atche yasser yeno, is the language of the Mechaber, until the wine, the effects of the wine go away from you. The Mechaber writes in Sifkat, the Mishabura writes in Sifkat and Dalet, V'afum ragel lishtos harbe. Come on, you're a big drinker. You drink a lot. V'einu shika klal brevias. I don't get drunk whatsoever. I can hold my liquor like there's no tomorrow. Sometimes people drink like there's no tomorrow. But afilo achilo yispal achilo im shasar vias yayin. Here the halacha says, I don't care what you feel. A revias is meaningful, and at this point is really not the perfect state of mind for tefillah. Tefillah, and here, when we talk about tefillah, we're starting off with tefillah Shmona Esrei, right? So davening, standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why the most simplest halacha here, when we're defining the halacha, we're talking, can you talk in front of an Adam Chashev? Because that's simply what's going on when you're davening in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously Elf of Dollars. But the measurement of whether one could daven, could I talk in front of Adam Chashev? So even if you could, But once you drank a Revias, halakha states, you don't feel it, I'm totally fine. I could do a crossword puzzle. I could do anything. Doesn't matter. Right? Ideally, you have to wait until the wine subsides, till you daven. However, if one did daven, right, and you have this on Purim, I remember in yeshiva, a lot of guys, you know, they drink a little bit, you know, it's going to be the best tefillah. If you daven, it's okay. It works. Right? Again, ideally you shouldn't. But if a person did daven, that tefillah would count. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. So, if in this first level, ideally I shouldn't daven, because I shouldn't be davening under the influence. It's not the best way to daven. But Elma, you say, okay, for you, you need this, you want to work off this high, and you end up davening, you know these halachas, you daven, whatever. So we said it works. So what happens in the scenario where the Zman Tefillah is going to pass? So remember we saw the Shulchan Aruch writes, in the third line, Va'afilum over Zman Tefillah. No, you don't daven. So the Mishnah Berurah qualifies that. If you look in Sif Katan Gimel of the Mishnah Berurah, he writes, Va'afilum ha'ideza yavar Zman Tefillah. Tefillah, the Pre-Chadosh says, you're still not supposed to daven. However, he writes, Va'ayim b'sof ha'simon b'shem ha'yam shel Shlomo. The Marshal, Yam Shel Shlomo, writes, nowadays, again, this is written by an early Achron, which was hundreds of years ago. But he's saying nowadays, at least the difference between the earlier generations, the Rishonim, the Gaonim, the Amoraim, the Tanoim, the contrast, the lowliness that the Achronim, we look at them today as the giants, the Marshal, the Marshal. Wow. But in that generation, we have problems really focusing and concentrating during davening. In this first category, if it's an issue, the Zman Tefillah is going to be passed up. So then, Mishnah Berurah passes halacha l'maisa, one should daven even in the state after you drank a shot, after you drank a revias. The reasoning behind it is because the reason to wait is even if a person feels a high, but sof ko sof, what we view as kavana is not the high of kavana. Really, what the halacha views kavana is a focus to be able to daven straight and think about Hashem. And any amount, davening is an avoda. It takes a mental focus. So really, any drink, it could put you in a loose state, perhaps a state that you might feel, quote-unquote, a high, but at the same time, for kavana, that's a weakness. So that's why ideally one shouldn't daven. But practically, nowadays, if the Zman Tefillah is in the past, this could definitely happen, you know, ideally, let's say I'm Purim, people should be davening mincha before the Suda. And okay, so that usually happens. But Ma'arivs, okay? Again, this month for Ma'ariv, you have quite a deep amount of time. But whatever scenario a person's in, if you end up, the Zman and Tefillah is about to pass, Chafetz Chaim Paskins, one should daven, even if he's in a state of being a shasa. The reasoning is because nowadays we don't have so much kavana anyway. Very interesting question. I didn't see anyone talk about this. Right? What I'm talking about now is you're in this state, and what should you do? So, really, you shouldn't daven. If this Zman Tefillah is going to pass, Chafetz Chaim gives you a heter. What about a heter for a minyan? I was bothered by this. I didn't find anyone in print who talks about it. I would think the simple answer is one should not daven. It's because even though a minyan is a very important thing, but davening in the right frame of mind might be even more important.
The Zman
By the Zman, Tefillah means I'm not going to be able to daven.
Does that mean
Tzos? Or does that mean the Azusha? Yes, I'm not sure. I'm not aware of them alone. But Mincha, I know the Zman. Shachris, I know the Zman. So definitely when there's a Zman Tefillah passing up, there the Chavetz Chaim gives you a heter. Just to have the ability, Zman Tefillah is not passing up. But this is the last minion in town. The last minion from Meir, from what I know, come Thursday night, next Thursday night on Purim. I think the yeshiva still owns the last minion at 10:30. I don't know if the guys make a minion later. But it's the last minion. I'm not sobered up by then. I'm not sure you should be davening. But I'm going to miss a minion. Only thing we clearly find in halacha is a zman tefillah, which is even for yourself, your own individual time to daven. So that's why I think it's so important. I'm not sure. But that's what I'd say off the cuff. Yes?
I have an issue with Shabbos where guys go out during the Haftorah and have Kiddush, and then one of them is going to daven Musaf for the Omid afterwards.
So I think we already have the answer to that question. Right? Now, besides whatever disturbance a Kiddush club in a shul might make or doesn't make, really this is a major problem. Right? If you have a Kiddush club, you take a drink, which assuming it's a revius, you know he just did. You just got yourself a ticket, do not daven musaf. It's mamash black and white halacha. It's a min sarites, shulchan aruch. Right? I just paskin for the guy. Right? Even if it means not davening with a minion. Rabbi Sharfman in his shir talked about, hey, you know, why, you know, davening Shabbos morning is so long. Why don't we just do Shachris, Kriyas HaTorah? Let's go home. Let's have lunch. Musaf the halacha is you could daven musaf all day. It's okay. We'll daven musaf before mincha. Let's do it like that. You can't do it like that on Shabbos morning. Really, you're not supposed to have your suda till after musaf. So that's why it gets very tricky. And the concept of a Kiddush club, you know, it, there are many things which might be contrary to Torah ideals. You know, I grew up in a shul that had one of the shuls, Davin, and there was a Kiddush club. I remember the Rav, you know, tried to gently and sometimes strongly fight it. And you see in halacha, like it's, you know, if you once you have one drink, al yispala. Now, if a person did, if he's not a shikr, the tefillah counts. He doesn't have to daven a second musaf. But again, it's not the ideal.
Why by a shasan? What's the difference between a shasan and a shasan yoser? Why by a shasan yoser do you have these like qualifications?
Yeah, so there, we'll see. I'm about to get to the second category. So let me talk about that. So far we're talking about category number one. The halacha is ideally one should not daven. The only hatter given to daven is if zman tefillah is going to pass. Minion's a very good shaila, but I could hear a tzad that one wouldn't daven even for a minion. And the reasoning behind it shows us an insight about tefillah in our times, is we assume that the level of kavana is not what it used to be. And therefore, for a focus, we say, okay, if there's zman tefillah is going to pass, then you could daven. But otherwise, you know, there is still a lechachila of davening with as much kavana as one could muster. Now, the second level of a shikr, that's somebody who already drank more than revius. Now, again, if he can still speak to a king, and he basically has a din in the first level. But if he can no longer speak to a king or an adam chashev, so then you have that lashon we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, tefilaso toeva, which is strong. His tefillah is an abomination. Hashem does not want you davening to him when you're drunk. Really, if you think about it, it's disrespectful. You're davening to Hashem, and you're drunk. Right? Imagine someone has a meeting with a king, and he walks in, you know, drunk. I need something from the king. He's walking in drunk. Well, king, I brought you a drink too. Right? That doesn't work. Now, there's a very interesting halacha here, and I was amazed by it. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Hay, I always think by these type of things, it's better to talk about the positive than the negative. So the Mechaber did use strong language of Tefilaso Toeva. Right? Okay, Yosef Cairo, Maron, he speaks stark. But look how the Chofetz Chaim writes. Right? So the Chofetz Chaim, I guess, adds fire first to Rabbi Yosef Cairo. Tefil also Toeva. Vavi Kilo Ovid Avos Achavim. Boy, I could play that game too. You want to call an abomination? I'll find you a Chazal. It's like you're serving Avodah Zarah. Oh. Okay. Once again, adding flames to the fire. But look at the next line in the Chofetz Chaim writes. Then Eino Mispalel Bishas Shikros. If you hold back, you want to daven, but you learned the halacha, I'm not going to daven when I'm drunk. This is based on the Gemara, the Chofetz Chaim quotes, Nitzel Mikol Tzara. You're saved from all tzaras. It's a chash of a thing. If a person is drunk, but holds himself back from davening, the Chofetz Chaim brings, based on the Gemara, that itself is a schus for a person. Right? I see some people in the audience are ready to get that schus. Right? Okay?
So is that a shikr or is that a shasai?
That's a shikr.
A shasai, he doesn't have to worry about that.
I would assume, it's a good question. If you're a shasai and you don't daven, do you also get a schus? I assume you also get a schus. But this guy probably has it tougher. Because if you are a shikr and you're already drunk, and it is a little hard to hold yourself back, you don't have that much self-control, but you must have the strength to say, okay, now's not a time to daven. That's a schus. That's a merit for a person. And it sounds like a pretty good merit that saves you from tzaras. Now, two more quick halachas, which we saw. Again, in this state where a person is drunk, so what do you have to do? Don't daven. What happens if you decide to daven? It does again, you have to do it again. So, you know. And doing it again ideally means within the Zman Tefillah. If the Zman Tefillah already passed, then again, we did mention that you could re-daven later the second time, your next Tefillah, you can make Tashlumim and daven like any Shogeg, assuming it fits that category. Okay, now all these halachas we focus on till now are the halachas about tefillah. What I'd like to do now is jump in contrast to all the other tefillos, brachos, and the like. I'll take two questions, one and two.
Can I just clarify?
Sure.
There's this, we mentioned this idea, achiyasi, that if a person drinks a revius,
right.
So the chatzili should not daven until the wine
subsides.
Mishnah Brura said on that, that it doesn't matter whether you can hold your liquor or not.
Right.
So what are you waiting for exactly?
If you're somebody who's...
No.
Words, I drank a Revius, so
right.
I hold my liquor.
So I think the clarification...
Because I'm the guy in the kid, and I'm sure this is what these people in the Kiddush Club are going to tell you. I went to the Kiddush Club, I took a shot or two, and it means absolutely nothing to me. So why can't I dive? So you say, well, you have to wait Achiasieno. It is Achiasieno.
That's right. What the shot means.
Yeah.
So where is this? Where is this state?
Reference to last week.
Where is this state where it's not yasayeno? It's taken some effect, but
yeah.
You're waiting. But you're, I'm not,
so the halacha does talk about different things of giving it some time and waiting and this. You know, there are practical things. Again, to the minutia, exactly where this guy is. You're right. You have a guy who drank a revius. He says it doesn't affect him. So the Torah says no. You have to wait. Halacha says we do think it affects you. The guy says, okay, but tell me how long I have to wait. So I'll tell you, you have to wait sometime, which another person who is affected by it, till it fully goes away from him. In other words, it sounds like the halacha is stating, you know, look, you say it doesn't really affect you, there is some effect. You just may have been feeling it, but it's in there.
Unless you drink enough to definitely be drunk enough to not be able to daven, but it didn't hit you yet at all. So that case also, you wouldn't be able to daven.
Right, great point. If you drink right away and it hasn't yet hit you, could you sneak in and daven right away? Now, it depends how quick your Shmoneh Esrei is. Right? So, here's the thing. It doesn't sound smart to daven in that scenario either. Where a person just drank a lot, and you're right, the effects of it don't come right away. Unfortunately, that's the biggest danger of young people who are not experienced drinking, half of drinking. They drink. It doesn't affect me. Yeah, it takes some time, but they keep on drinking more and more, and then, boy, does it affect them. Now, it comes all of a sudden. So it really does sound like a tricky thing. Once you drink that amount, right, that also is an excellent question to follow up to Rabbi Flamel. Right? Sometimes the reason why you didn't feel the effect, it doesn't bother you because, yeah, maybe it hasn't hit you yet. But once you're in the state where you took a drink, you never know where it could hit you. It could be in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, or this. That's not, I assume, that's all included in the problem. Even in that scenario, you shouldn't yet doubt. Now, we've talked about Shemoneh Esrei. What about Kriya Shema? So that simply is the Ramah over here. The Ramah writes, V'din Kriya Shema k'din Tefila. He says, the halacha of Kriya Shema is just like the halacha of Tefila. Now, there's a Mishnah Berurah on Sifkat and Ches, I'll say it outside, where he brings a Levush, which says, maybe you could be more makel by Kriya Shema than by Tefila. What's the difference between Kriya Shema and Tefillah and Shemoneh Esrei? Very simple. Shemoneh Esrei, you're omei lefnei hamelech. You're literally talking to Hashem. Kriya Shema might be more of a mitzvah in terms, l'kol yama, Kriya Shema is d'oraisa. You know, Tefillah, major machlokas. But Kriya Shema is a declaration of faith, but you're not literally standing in front of Hashem and talking. So that, the Levush says, maybe one could be more makel. And even though we saw, let's call it these categories of a shasoi and a shikr, and a shikr being a more stringent category, maybe by a Kriya Shema, even a shikr might be able to daven. That's what Levush argues. However, the Mishnah Berurah brings a gra that says no, there's no difference between them. Granted, that's true, Shemoneh Esrei is omen lefnei hamelech, but you still have to have complete reverence and complete focus and concentration when it comes to Kriya Shema. And therefore, that doesn't make for a difference. Even though there is this difference, Kriya Shema is not standing in front of Hashem, but you still need your mindset for the Kavanah. You still need the respect for this declaration of faith. And therefore, the Gemara says there's no difference halachically between Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, and therefore we treat them both the same. Now, what about Birchas Kriya Shema? So the Mishnah Berurah says that you treat the same as Kriya Shema. I did see some other poskim say perhaps one could be more makel about Birchas Kriya Shema, but the Chafetz Chaim equates them all. Birchas Kriya Shema is usually a package together with Kriya Shema, and whatever the state, the halakhic standard for Kriya Shema, that's what we'll take for Birchas Kriya Shema too. You mean to put on tefillin?
Yeah, you definitely have to.
That's a different issue for tefillin.
Right, right. By tefillin, I didn't see. You know, tefillin, they talk about the issue of the bracha, right? We'll get to that in a moment. But he's saying just having tefillin on your head, if you had a drink, is that the proper state to be in for tefillin? You shouldn't put on your tefillin in such a case. I'm not sure. It sounds interesting. It's a very interesting question. Of course, you're supposed to be knowing a special zehiros of tefillin. And part of it, right, is be careful what you do when you talk. Be careful of your body. Right, there is a certain thing about that. But you never know. Don't you know back in Russia it was very cold in the morning? How'd they get out of the house? A nice warm cup of vodka. That's how you did it.
I would assume. I mean,
yeah.
I just, it's not a riot ruler, but you never saw any halacha. Mar talks about drinking wine and at a right. Suda and other various halachas, and they used to wear their tefillin all day long.
Right. I didn't.
I never saw anywhere that when a person drinks, he has right. to take off his tefillin.
Right, right.
We don't wear tefillin all day long, but they used to wear tefillin all the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, I also haven't come across it, but there's a point to it. The mitzvah is a certain kedusha one should have with tefillin. It's not so poshut. One could necessarily have that if his mind is not fully there. Now, in terms of other brachos, so there also the Mechaber talks about, he writes, Shar brachos yachol varech afal pishu sheker. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah brings, other brachos one could recite even if he's drunk, even if he reached level 2. Again, level 3 is off the playing field, right? He's out. He's in stupor. Now he can't do anything. But level 2, a person who's drunk, really could say brachos. You're drunk and you're about to eat something more, right? Those are one of the first things you do when a person's drunk, right? You want to make sure the person eats and drinks. So eating more, you could do, and you can make a bracha. However, the Mishnah Berurah does bring down that l'chachila, you know, one shouldn't even be making brachos in such a state. Again, why would brachos be more makel? Because brachos is not the same thing as Shemona Esrei, your omen of Ne'amalach. Not the same thing as Kriya Shema, where you're making this special declaration of faith, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's more makel than that. It's a bracha, you're saying the Shem Hashem, but it's a lower madrega. And therefore, for a bracha, here everyone would say, not just the Levush, but others, for a bracha, look, it could be made even if a person is drunk. However, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, again, l'chachila, one shouldn't do this. So that means, ideally, if you don't need to eat something, you should wait till you're better frame of mind, then you could make a bracha and eat it. Let's say a bracha achrona. So that's a bidyavid situation. Once you're ready, ate, you need to make a bracha achrona. So if a person is drunk, one could make a bracha achrona.
Drunk is royal adab? It's not royal adab?
Yes. Even someone who's not royal adab of
Nehemiah. What about if you are?
Then you're shasay. It's more possible, of course, it could.
Yeah,
it could be. I didn't see that chiluk, but yeah.
You do that all the hot brothers like that.
Yeah.
We've already had 3-4 cups of wine, and you say that's how the hot brother was used.
Yeah. Okay.
The last two pretty quickly. They. Quick concessions, the second session there.
Okay, but it was after a whole meal. There's a lot in your body, right? The way drinking works. If you do have, you know, a nice meal and you all that matzah, you know. Yeah, if you come in too. Between the first and second bracha of the Seder. Yeah, so there's another important thing. It happened to me all the time. Went out to Hilchos Seder. But it's definitely advisable. People should eat food before the Seder. It helps you in many ways. But let me just, I want to get to a few things. So, a lot of halachas here. Birchas HaMazon. So that I have on top of your pages in Simon Kuf Pei Hei. There in the Mechaber says, even if you're drunk, afil nishtaker kolkach acheinu yachol daber karoy, imamish can't talk straight. You're totally a shikker. Yachol avarech birchas amazon. One could bench. Why is that? So it's interesting. We don't say, well, the same story I just said before. But b'di'evin, once you did it, it's even more than that over here by birchas amazon. There's a special pasuk. Mishnah Berurah brings the ksiv v'achalto v'savato v'irachta afim adomdom. Even if a person's half falling asleep, can't speak properly, and they say huadin, that means a drunk. So v'achalto v'savato v'irachta, it seems, is a special din by Berachas HaMazon that it's so important to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu after we eat a meal for the food that we ate, that's true even if a person is drunk. Even after you're drunk, v'chalta v'savata v'irachta, no shaila, you could bench after the Purim Suda. Now that's Birchas HaMazon. Birchas Kohanim, for those in our midst. So that in the back of your sheets, it's Simen Kuf Chav Ches. There the halacha writes, that once you drink a Revias, and a Revias is not just category 2 of a Shikar, right? Revias is already the first simple category of a Shasoi. Once you have a Revias, you can't. You can't do Berachas Kohanim. And this is the reason the Minhagim for hundreds of years, the people, they shuls move Berachas Kohanim on Simchas Torah morning to Shachris in order that they'll be able to do it because they're afraid people drink on Simchas Torah. So that's why it potentially moved. But Berachas Kohanim, the halacha is once you drink a Revias, you can't. Interesting over here, there's a dispute in halacha. Is the same halacha applied to liquor? And there's a Magen Avraham who's makel. Why would it be makel and liquor versus wine? Didn't we say that all these halachas equally apply to wine and liquor? The answer is Birchas Kohanim, similar to Kohen Dulim Davoda, there might have been a special din within wine. So maybe liquor would be different. But halacha l'maisa, we don't pass in that way. Most achronim argue, the Mishnah Berurah brings over there, and anything which is mishaker you is different. Now, one last little tidbit. What about a minyan, a mezumin, and I call it miscellaneous? MMM. In terms of a minyan, once a person for sure is a shikar, one does not count for a minyan. B'chaim Kanievsky has a sefer summarizing the halachas of Mishnah Berurah, and there, it's mashal, the way he writes it, it will be even a shasli. Once you drank a revias, you don't count for a minyan. So that's a big halach, nafka minyan. You got to count around per night. Do I have 10 people who the effects of drinking a revias are no longer, maybe everyone should be davening 10:30 on per night. Not so practical for some people. Have work the next day. But you need a minyan of people. Again, maybe it could be makel. Simple reading is only a shikar, but Chaim Kanievsky definitely seems to be mashma even a shasoi. Interesting, they make a difference between a minyan and a mezumin. A minyan is a group gathering together. You pronounce the Shem Hashem. A mezumin for benching, just 3 people, is viewed as a lower madrega. And a mezumin, we would allow even a shikar to go and drink. Someone who drank could go and bench with them. Because a mezumin is a different thing. It's not the same thing. It's a major difference if you have a minyan for benching and a mezumin for benching. And finally, halacha that if you drank, you should not be pasking any shilas. So I'm glad I did this before Purim. Wishing everybody a freilich and adar and a freilich and Purim. Thank you for listening, and obviously, be safe.